doing this morning?
I'm really good. You know, I've been just like fucking off a little bit, and I've really enjoyed that. I've been playing my drum for the past couple hours.
Oh.
And it's just been really noisy and loud, and I've enjoyed the hell out of it.
And we're doing a new thing. Like, this might be one of the first times that we've ever recorded in the morning, save a handful of times years ago.
Yeah, I love a good morning recording session.
I love a good morning.
I love to wake up alive.
I love it when you wake up and it's morning.
And you're not dead.
And it's good. You know what else we have to talk about this episode?
What?
We have a very special video we need to talk about.
Oh my God, I'm not stopped. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to drop it. I cannot wait.
Oh boy. At the time that this episode comes out, you will be able to navigate your way over to our, I guess our Facebook.
Yeah, Instagram too. We can put it up.
But a handful of you beans put together something very special for us, and we wanted to share it with you. We wanted to share our reaction with you. And Macy, have you ever heard of the service called Cameo?
I actually had not heard of Cameo before this.
Okay. All right. So if you're unaware, Cameo is a service where people, all kinds of people are on it. There's famous YouTubers, actors, right down to, you know, I don't know, Macy, me and you could probably sign up and do Cameo.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Honestly, though, that's not a bad idea. Somebody would want it. People buy our Punch Me merch, so somebody would want us to do a Cameo.
But basically, you can go on. Oh, sorry. That idea cracked me up. You can go on and you can essentially hire someone to give a little personalized shout out. And that's what a few of you have done for us. And
I have the names here. I pulled them up. So the Bean team, as they are called, the Fellowship of Eight that did this. So we have Corey, we know him, we love him, Christy, Casey, Kat, Ember, Jenny, Amanda, Nicole, Becky, Lyra, and Kim. I didn't say the last names because I don't know if y'all want me to, but y'all know who you know who you are.
You know who you are.
And, thank y'all because goddamn.
So I guess we should just come out and say it. We got a cameo. We got a little shout out from the legend, the man, the myth himself, Samwise Gamgee.
Oh my God.
Sean Astin said hello. He said our names with his mouth.
Mm-hmm. He said a lot of things with his mouth. And they were.
he blessed us.
That's the biggest thing. We've been blessed on our journey. We've been blessed on our journey of full-time podcasting by Sam. I mean, fuck.
I mean, and it still hasn't completely hit. I will randomly just think about it and be like, oh my God. So if you guys would like to see not only the cameo that was sent to us by the Bean Team, which by the way, hearing Sean Astin say Bean Team is hilarious. If you want to see it, we have it up on our Scotials medias, as well as a little side-by-side action of me and Maisie opening this up and our reaction to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And after our topics today, I want to talk a little bit more about the interaction between you and I when you sent this to me.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. But outside of that, check it out, dude. We're speechless.
Yeah, honestly. So yeah, enjoy. And I think our reactions are fun. I think that they're very confused.
Yeah.
And I was silent, I think, for almost all of it.
I know in the very beginning, you're looking at your phone and smiling, and I think you can kind of see it hit you.
It does.
There's a very obvious moment where your face just changes and you just kind of have this look of like, what?
Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, Sean Astin. And it's like, hello, Charlie and Macy. And I was just like, my whole face just goes slack.
Yeah.
And it's just.
And I know that there's a part in the middle where it looks as if it wasn't for my shaking hand holding the camera, you would think that it completely froze, because I just have the goofiest face plastered on, frozen for like a full minute.
It broke my brain.
Okay, well, anyway, guys, please, please, please check that out. We would love to hear from you about it. And I have another personal plug that I would like to shove in here. WBAH gamer boys out there, we have started a Valheim server. And if you're playing Valheim and you can hear my words, you need please, please jump on with us. If you make your way over to, again, on Facebook, maybe we might slap it over on Instagram too, because I would like to get as many beans as we can involved, because it's a great time. We have the IP and the password and all of that plastered everywhere. There's a Discord server. We're going to jump on. We're going to use our voices to chat. We're killing trolls and digging pig holes. So come over and dug a pig hole. And if you want to know what that is, come on over.
I have Valheim to figure servers. Out what Discord is. Like, I know there is a Wabba Discord, I don't know what that means.
Well, damn, dude, I need to jump on it. It's how the cool kids chat these days.
See, that's the problem. That's why I don't know what it is.
I only know that because I was told that, and I was told those exact words. It's how the cool kids chat these days.
Okay.
And I've only ever really used it for gaming, so that kind of came naturally. But I guess we do have a Wabba Discord that I'll jump on today and see what you guys... Hopefully it's not all. These bitches are stupid and I'm leaving.
And I don't respect them.
That's right.
Well, good. You can do that and figure it out for me and teach my old eyes how to do it.
All right. So first thing you're going to need to do is download Discord.
To do that, you open the internets, browser you want.
It might be Firefox, it might be Chrome, it might be Internet Explorer. Listen to me, what are we talking about? And God, please don't let it be more of that.
I would not do that to you. Plus, we're actually short on time today, so I can't. I'm talking to you today about cumin.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Sweet, delicious cumin.
I love cumin. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you about lucerne.
I don't know the meaning of the word.
You actually do, and I put money on it, because here in America, we call it alfalfa.
Oh, alfalfa.
Alfalfa.
Horses love it.
You heard it here. Alfalfa. Horses love it. Speaking cool. of, if I may interject one more time about Valheim, I was playing the other day, we were on, and one of the beans was on, and we were chatting, and they went silent for a while, and they came back, and they said, oh, sorry, I was eating saltines.
Oh, see, I get that.
Macy would be proud.
That would put me into a spiritual pause as well.
You would stop being a Viking to eat some saltine crackers.
That's what somebody, I put that picture up yesterday on Instagram of like us looking off into the distance at what neither you or I can remember. And I was just like, what are we looking at? Because we don't know. And somebody just wrote like saltines. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah, that would explain the grins on the faces.
The satisfied look.
Yeah. In all actuality, I think we were looking at some plants or... Or we were doing that thing where we're like, let's look off in the distance and act like, and then we'll get a totally candid picture taken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really worked out.
Yeah. Look natural. Okay. Let's see. I have here that I go first, so I'm going to jump in and talk to you about lucerne or alfalfa, as I will probably be switching the terminology. Because interestingly, when I got into this, I saw that I think there are other places besides North America that call it alfalfa, but mostly it's referred to as lucerne across the world. And I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. That's not really what we call it here, so I'm trying my best. But the name, Mediaco sativa.
Oh.
I want to talk about it. I can't talk about sativa. But believe it or not, alfalfa is in the legume family.
Oh, I love a legume.
Strangely enough, also known as alfalfa, buffalo grass, purple medic, and holy hay, which...
Oh, my.
If that could be a new exclamation. And
that's exactly what I was thinking. Holy hay!
Holy hay! The planet association is Jupiter as well as Venus.
Oh.
Zodiac is Taurus, and Earth element is Earth. So if you're picking up on anything, Jupiter, Taurus, Earth, it's very earthly, it's very chill, and it's got a little bit of luck vibes thrown in there. So alfalfa comes, the word itself, alfalfa as we call it, which I guess really won't make a shit to you if you call it lucerne, but it comes from the Arabic meaning, or the Arabic word meaning father of all foods.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hot take.
And it, big claim. Because when they fed it as fodder to their horses, it seemed to make the horses stronger, faster, I don't know, shinier. Just all
okay,
of the things
yeah.
that, you know. You,
healthful.
You, healthful. Full of virility.
Okay, yeah.
Now, as I have been doing, I'm going to slap some contraindications up front. So, of course, always talk to your doctor. Do not take in high quantities if you have an autoimmune disease or on blood sugar or diabetes medications, or if you're on the birth control pill. Now, keep in mind, I'm saying don't take in high doses, right?
Yeah.
If you are still interested in trying this, please give a quick call to your doctor. They'll clear it up for you. Now, do not take this if you are on warfarin or an immunosuppressive medication. Talk to your doctor. And pregnant people probably should stick away because it can stimulate the uterus. However, as I will touch on later, you can make use of it for healthy milk production.
Oh.
So, and to everyone in the whole world, if you're alive and can hear me, perk your ears up. Do not eat unsprouted alfalfa seeds. They contain the toxic cannabinoid, and it can really F you up. And from Wikipedia, and this really holds no, there's not really useful information here, but you know we love a long title here on the WBAH verbose hour. So from Wikipedia, it says, in 2005, after completing a 28-page environmental assessment, the United States Department of Agriculture granted Roundup Ready alfalfa non-regulated status under Code of Federal Regulations Title 7, Part 340, called, here's the name, Introduction of Organisms and Products Altered or Produced Through Genetic Engineering, which are plant pests or which there is reason to believe are plant pests.
That's like a title written for SEO results.
It's like plants, pests, organisms.
As many keywords, just ram them in there.
Genetic engineering. So, when it comes to alfalfa lucerne, you can use the leaves, the flowers, and the stems. You can eat the sprouts in sandwiches or salads. I love a good sprout on a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good. You can make tea out of the dry leaves, which I think is the preferred and most common use.
I believe it's sweet, right? It has like a sweetness.
Yeah, because it's got this hay-like quality. There's that like hay sweetness. You know, kind of like sweet grass has that sweetness. There's that sweet grass. You can also carry some dried alfalfa in your wallet. You can add it to spells, candle jars, any way that you use this, you're mostly going to be using it in the dried form. You can use fresh leaves. However, if you're using fresh leaves, you might as well eat them, dude.
Yeah.
Alfalfa has been used way, way back as animal fodder, mostly. Writings mention it for this purpose from the times of at least the Greeks.
Whoa.
And some remains have been found in Iran, or then Persia, suggesting its use as far back as 1300 BC. In traditional Chinese medicine, lucerne is used to treat stomach issues, as well such as ulcers and lack of appetite. This is all kind of making sense, because if you put this out for animals, cows, they'll gnaw on it, and it'll be kind of a stimulant, you know, you want to put this out there so they can chew on it and then they'll eat their regular food. It all just kind of goes hand in hand. In America, during the 17th and 17 and 1800s, hundos, as I wrote in my notes, it was common to use lucerne for menstrual problems, aka it would calm the uterus as it should
as
be.
As it should be.
Because it can act, once again, it can act upon that area, not only in stimulating, you know, if you have maybe a late period or if you're having really bad cramps and you need some interaction with that area, but it's also going to play a part in the hormones produced by that area. We'll get there.
Okay.
In the British herbal pharmacopoeia, yeah, I can never say that one correctly, they say alfalfa has the nutrients needed to treat anemia. Now, that is an old writing, the British herbal pharmacopoeia, but it's don't try to treat your anemia at home is what I'm saying, but that was a common remedy for anemia, mm-hmm. or maybe some light effects of someone who is anemic. You know, alfalfa tea was said to bring like this just nutrient punch to your body, and it was to sickly people would become healthy after alfalfa was administered to them. And
does it have iron in it?
You know what? Maybe. I'm not sure. I know it's got vitamin K.
Okay.
Anyway, so it is still used also today as animal fodder. Very popular for animal fodder. And we mostly see it in the form of hay. So, and I've always wondered that. And I know this is kind of a stupid question, but I was always like, what is hay? Like, before it's dried out, like, what is hay?
It looks like a grass.
Yeah. And I was like, is it just tall grass? Is it the tall grass? That movie from Stephen King?
The tall grass.
One reason that this is such a cool dude, and it's so, it might contain iron, who knows? I should know that, and I might cut that out. But the roots of this plant go super, super deep, allowing the draw of nutrients found in the deeper soil and the, as I saw, subsoil.
Oh.
It makes it really nutritious to us, but also to the earth. This is a popular crop for people who are wanting to put some life back into spent earth.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, you know, radishes, I think, might do the same thing, except they're less nutrient. They're more just you can grow them and then let them rot where they grow to kind of revitalize and nutrientize.
It regenerate.
Nutrition? There's a word there that I'm skipping out on. There are lots of benefits to alfalfa in regards to health. And a lot of it's actually backed up by studies.
That's cool.
Or studies of the components of alfalfa.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is like, oh, alfalfa contains vitamin K, and vitamin K is good for your bones. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in addition to its already known, its studied and marked ability to lower cholesterol and triglyceride levels without lowering your quote-unquote good cholesterol, it is believed that alfalfa may keep calcium from hardening your arteries.
No.
So apparently when we have plaque that hardens our arteries, they can get like replaced by, they can like calcify, which I was unaware of, and that sounds scary as shit to me, but this can keep that from happening. I even saw in some places that there's, it's not quite confirmed, but they think it might also slightly reverse the effects. It's not going to heal you completely, but it might help to decalcify a little bit.
And this was due to the vitamin K?
No. This was, I forget what the chemical compound was that did this. Magnesium, I believe. It's high level of, I believe it's magnesium is what helps to lower the blood sugar and cholesterol, but I forget what the decalcification or the prevention of calcification was due to.
Yeah. Okay.
A study from the Journal of the National Cancer Institute shows that alfalfa can speed the elimination of carcinogens from the bowels.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, dude. They like bind to the carcinogens on the walls, I believe, of the bowels, and then they can just kind of send it through the poop chute, as it were. It also regulates your estrogen levels in the body, whether too much or too little. It can help balance out an imbalance in either direction, as well as issues related to estrogen in the body. As I was talking about earlier, it can calm, uterus contraction or stimulate uterus contractions and help with that. It can also help with symptoms caused by things like polycystic ovaries, fibrocystic breasts, and the discomforts related to menopause. So it's very highly tied to your estrogen and the things in your body that estrogen can kind of have control over. Mm-hmm. Now, as mentioned a few times, it is loaded with vitamin K. It's good for your bone health. It brings blood sugar levels down, which is why you want to be careful if you are on blood sugar or diabetes medication. It promotes oral health as it is mildly as it is mildly healing to things like cuts and scrapes and bruises and things like that. So it's good to chew on, and it just kind of keeps gums healthy, especially if gingivitis is a concern or just like sore gums, tender gums, shit like that. And it's even said to reduce the risk of stroke.
Oh.
Now, as stated before, alfalfa can help with the production of breast milk. However, it is not recommended during actual pregnancy. And to me, it just goes hand in hand with that, like, and I don't want to make any unsightly comparison. I'm not, you know, saying anything here, but it makes sense to me that, like, cattle eat it, you know, and then they produce this very plentiful and healthy milk supply. You know, kind of the same thing, I guess, with, I'm going to go ahead and I guess at any mammal that gets its hands on it. In a metaphysical sense, it's all about money. Money, 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 baby.
Oh, shit.
Money, money, money. Use it for money drawing. If you're doing a spell that involves money of any kind, whether it be a general prosperity spell, a good luck, like a swift fortune spell, or even like protecting you against money loss issues, then you need to throw some alfalfa in.
That's interesting. That actually correlates with cumin really well.
Oh, I love it when we do that. If your money seems to be flying out of the door without much cause, and sometimes, yeah, when we're like keeping track of our money, we're like, oh, I lost money this month because I spent $400 at the casino or whatever. Then we know where it went. But sometimes there are times like we check our bank account and it just seems like you're like, where is it going, dude? If that's a situation you're in, alfalfa helps to not only draw you money, but keep the money that you already have. You know, use it to focus keeping your money with you. If you're a business owner, toss some alfalfa in your successful business jar that I know you have next to your cash register. Or even put it under the welcome mat of your store if you have like a brick and mortar store, to attract good business and attract customers who are looking to spend a little coin, you know? Keep some in your wallet and it will attract you cash. But also, it'll keep you from overspending frivolously.
Oh, good.
I really, really need that. And in the same way as salt, I saw that many witches like to keep some dried alfalfa in the kitchen to always be blessed with plenty of food.
That's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. Useful.
Useful. So that is lucerne alfalfa.
I liked that. That was really, really interesting and kind of multi-purpose.
Very multi-purpose. And you know what? Something I have never thought about in that way. I was just like, alfalfa, that's what people put on their mayonnaise sandwiches.
What?
You know, your white bread mayonnaise sandwich with a side of ice cold whole milk.
Oh, and apparently alfalfa sprouts.
And just alfalfa sprouts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Gross.
That is disgusting.
Charlie, what interferes with your happiness?
You know what interferes with my happiness? Procrastination.
Well, I'm going to tell you who can assist you with that, Charlie. BetterHelp. Because they can assess your needs. And they can set you up with your own licensed personal therapist.
But I don't want to have to sit in an uncomfortable and boring and gross crowded waiting room.
You don't have to do that, man. You don't have to do it at all. You know what? Social distance all you want, because you can do it from the comfort of your own home and get started in 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating a great match for you. So you can really get set up with a good counselor. And you can also change your counselor whenever you need to. It's done kind of anonymously. It's not a big deal. You can just request to change at any time. You can get set up with a brand new counselor to get chatting with.
Sounds expensive.
Well, guess what, Charlie? Oh. It's not. Oh, it is actually, it's more affordable than traditional in-person counseling. And financial aid is available to those who qualify.
But what if I don't live in America?
It's okay. You know why? Because BetterHelp is worldwide. And not only is it worldwide, there's such a broad range of expertise available. You might be able to touch on things with your BetterHelp counselor that you might not would be locally, because maybe if you live in a small town, there's not like a certain specialist there. BetterHelp can help you with that.
But will they help me with depression?
Stress.
Anxiety?
Relationships.
Sleeping problems.
Trauma.
Anger.
Family conflicts.
LGBT matters.
Grief.
And self-esteem?
They sure will. And anything that you share is confidential, convenient, professional, and affordable.
I don't know if I believe just you, Macy. Is there a place I can go to maybe read some testimonials?
Well, I guess I understand that. But yeah, you sure can. You could check out testimonials posted daily on their site.
BetterHelp is not a crisis line, but we do want you to start living happier. And as a listener, the Wabeens, you can get 10% off of your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/witch. That's W-I-T-C-H.
Again, one last time, that is BetterHelp, help as in HELP.com/witch. All right, Charlie, listen, I'm going to tell you about our Tex-Mex friend, Cumin.
Love Cumin.
Love Cumin. It adds so much goodness to anything that it's in, except for oatmeal. Have I ever told you about my cumin and oatmeal issue?
No, but I...
One of the worst morning memories I have, and it was like, I don't eat breakfast anymore now, but I used to have breakfast every morning religiously, and I loved having oatmeal for breakfast. I still love oatmeal, as you know, and I was like making my oatmeal, and it was like before school. I think I was still in high school, and I had my oatmeal getting made, and I was just kind of getting ready and was mixing it up and put my cinnamon in it, and I took a bite, and it was so loaded full of cumin. And I was I just remember being so appalled by the mistake and just the complete disruption of all of my forward momentum that I've never forgotten it.
There is nothing in this world like expecting one flavor and receiving another.
Oh my God. It was pungent.
And that's a good word to describe cumin, because if you're not familiar, I don't know if it's as everywhere as it is down here, I guess, particularly in the South. Cumin's in everything, dude.
Everything.
And it's what gives Tex-Mex its like signature kind of flavor, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the tequila of spices to me. You can taste it no matter what it's in.
Yeah, yeah. And... if you just take a whiff of it, and this might just be me, and I love cumin, so I'm not saying anything bad about it, but if you just take a whiff of cumin, it's got a bit of a B-O-E.
No, that's it. Sweaty is one of the one of the notes that describe it. Yeah.
Sweaty?
A bit sweaty, yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. So let's hop on in. So scientific name, cuminum cyminum. Cyminum. So that's an easy one.
Okay.
Cuminum cyminum.
Cuminum.
So in the family, Apiaceae, it's native to the Middle Eastern region, stretches to India. And so the seeds are where the spice comes from, the grinding up of the seeds. In those regions, especially since that's where it originated, it is also deeply featured into the cuisines of many cultures in its whole and its ground form. So it's mixed up often with caraway seed. And according to Wikipedia, like some European languages don't even have words to separate the two, even though they're very similar in appearance. And so they just kind of get mixed up a lot, but we're talking specifically about cumin. So it's a member of the parsley family.
Parsley.
And it's not a very big plant. It only grows like max 20 inches tall, about 12 or about 30 to 50 centimeters. And it's harvested by hand. Oh. So the seeds are very interesting looking. They're kind of long and slender, and they have ridges in them. They have 8 ridges. What I saw was oil canals. So there's kind of like these low parts in between the ridges that apparently like are oil canals. I don't really know what that means, but
ew, yeah. Greasy.
So seems like it might have originated in like the Eastern Mediterranean region. And it has been used as a spice for so goddamn long, like thousands and thousands of years. It's one of the oldest spices used by people, with some, with it seeming like there's some evidence of back to 2000 BC. So
I
long
can
time.
See that. You smell it and you're like, oh, that goes in food.
Yeah, I can use you. Romans would import it in from Egypt. And they used it all the time. They used it like fucking pepper, like black pepper. Like it was just, it was like added to shit as like a garnishing spice. Mm. So they believe, and this kind of gets into like some of the metaphysical lore coming on later. They believed that eating it prevented theft. Mm-hmm. So cumin was introduced to the Americas by Spanish and Portuguese colonists. Today, it's mostly grown in the Indian subcontinent. It's also grown in Africa, Mexico, Chile and China. So that said, apparently it's commonly used in bird food as like a bird seed. And because of that, it's kind of become naturalized in a lot of places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it does seem to kind of like that dry kind of Mediterranean type climate, but it seems like it can fuck with multiple things. And so because it's in bird seed all of the time, it's kind of popped up all over the world.
If I was a bird and I suddenly got a mouth of cumin, I would be like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, this is like really kind of a sensory overload for me.
Yeah, just your little bird head would pop.
You know, his little bird burps are like, what is this?
Yeah. Ew, little bird burps.
You know they do it. I guess yeah. They do. Do birds burp? They have to.
I don't know. I think I remember that, like, rabbits don't burp. Because I had a rabbit once, and I, like, gave it a carrot, and I looked it up, and it was like, actually, don't give your rabbits carrots, because they can't burp.
Yeah, I do know that they can, like, bloat to death because of certain greens and whatnot.
And you know why? It's because they can't burp.
They can't burp. If only they could burp.
I know dogs can burp. I got the burp in his ass.
Oh my
dog.
God. Dinah burps like a lumberjack.
I mean, grown man. I have before needed clarification if it was her or if it was like another human being.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And Dinah cracks me up. She has this like, it's like a latticework hollow ball. And she's a dog that has to walk with things in her mouth all the time. And so sometimes she'll just be walking and it keeps her mouth and throat open, even though she's holding a ball, and she'll burp through it.
Ew.
It almost like reverberates. It's so much louder, and she'll burp through it, and you'll just hear this like sound across the house, and it's just like, Jesus, man.
Ew.
It's great. Ew. I love it. So anyway,
bird burps.
Bird burps. Seed. There we go. Back in. So in India, like I mentioned previously, it is really, really integrated into the cuisine. It's one of the main spices in curry, but it's also in Ayurvedic medicine as well. So it's largely for digestion matters, whether it be easing digestion or regulating it, stopping disruptive digestive issues like diarrhea or vomiting. That's what I saw over and over and over again most often in looking at kind of like the Ayurvedic medicinal uses and whatnot. In ancient Greece, cumin symbolized stinginess. Oh. And essentially, those who like kept their fists too tight, who clung to their money, were said to have eaten cumin. They've eaten too much cumin.
Can we bring that back, please? If anyone's stingy, you'll just be like, they eat a little too much cumin.
That bitch is eating too much cumin.
That cumin-eating bitch.
So this was... To get like a bit of an explainer on this, this was probably because like at the time you could pay your taxes with cumin.
Whoa.
I know. And maybe that's why, like if you weren't like, you know, since it had like that kind of monetary value to it, like it was almost seen as a currency, that maybe that's where it came from. But Marcus Aurelius, very well known emperor of Rome, was he was also known for his stinginess. He's a tight-fisted dude. And apparently he had the nickname Cuminous.
Savage.
Whoa, look out.
Wow.
Yeah, so Pliny, he wrote another unusual use for cumin, apparently. So apparently if you put cumin on like a cumin paste on the skin, it can bleach it, like lighten the skin. I don't know if that means like vitamin C can do. Students would like convince their, this is so silly, so like students under philosophers and whatnot would convince their teachers that like, oh yeah, I've been studying so hard, like look how pale I am, I've not seen the sun in days, all I do is study, to like, you know, get out from the fact that they're partying all of the time and not studying.
Times never change, bro.
Yeah, so that was from starchild.co.uk. Cumin seeds apparently can help keep moths away, which was like a kind of a big deal back in the day. Moths would fuck your shit up.
I guess before fast fashion existed, and you couldn't just pop down to a Target and get you a new, you know, t-shirt. Your clothing, dude, if that got fucked...
Yeah.
You were fucked.
Yeah. Clothing was really, really serious, and it was typically custom made and it was expensive. And it, yeah, getting your shit ruined by moths over winter time, you know, or like you pull out your winter wardrobe and all of your winter clothes that you need to not fucking freeze to death are full of moth holes. So,
I have a couple of items that I've actually dropped cash on, you know, I think everyone, you know, just that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one item that you have that was a little too expensive and you know it. If a moth put a hole in that dress, I would kill all the moths.
That's how it'd be like if a moth like chewed through some of the knitting in my cuddligan. Fuck.
Did you get your cuddligan?
Oh no, not yet. It's gonna be a while still.
Oh,
probably.
But can you imagine if a moth ate it?
I'd be so upset. I would be so upset. So here's how you can prevent a moth from eating your precious items. So
your cuddligan.
So people would just like put seeds in the cupboards, in the cabinets, in the wardrobes, things like that. And apparently moths just can't take it. They don't want it. They don't want to be anywhere near it.
Cumin eliminates moths.
It eliminates moths, man. And so that was just kind of a way to do it. And also as a medicinal use, you could put cumin seeds as like a poultice, like bundle them up, and it could ease both swollen breasts and testicles.
Woof.
So... whatever reason as to why, it didn't say why they would be swollen.
You know what it is, bitch.
You know. So yeah, there you go. So let's hop into the metaphysical. So we have some properties here. It has a masculine kind of energy to it. It's tied to Mars. The element is fire. It is the kind of powers that it has most commonly are protection, anti-theft, and fidelity, and lust, but we'll get into that. They kind of counteract each other, but you know. So cumin seed, I really liked this a lot. I thought this sounded really interesting. So you can burn, kind of like toast cumin seeds on a disc, like cumin seeds and resins and whatnot on a charcoal disc. And then you can scatter that onto the floor, sometimes with salt added, to drive out evil. So you kind of take your ashes and your toasted seeds, and I imagine it'll be kind of like how when you burn a star anise pod, how it doesn't really just turn to ash. You still, you know, like have like a little nubbin, and like you kind of can sprinkle that on the floor, and I imagine like sweep it out, and that can like help drive out evil. So
also, your house is gonna smell like fajitas.
It will be great, man. Yeah. So in terms of love, there's quite a place for cumin. So in Germany, both grooms and the bride would keep it on them, just on their person on the wedding day, to keep any negativity at bay. And also it's just kind of like a good luck for your future life kind of charm. That seemed like a pretty common practice. The grooms didn't always do it, but it seems like in multiple, like in a pretty large region, that brides would keep cumin on them. So it's super tied to fidelity, like big time tied to fidelity. And so there's all kinds of tricks that the ladies would use. In one place I saw the country lasses would use, and that's sweet, to feed to their traveling men to make sure that they didn't stray on their travels. So
how about you don't marry a piece of shit?
Well, I think it just seems like all men were pieces of shit back then.
It seems like every herb in witchcraft is like someone desperately trying to keep their man from dipping out.
I know, slipping into something else. So so here's what they would do, right? Here's what they would do. So women, the country lasses, would bake a bread with cumin in it, right? And so they would do this for like soldiers who were leaving, and it would secure that they wouldn't just like, you know, just lose their way, as we'll say. Yeah. So they could also do that with like cumin, like wine steeped with cumin was another thing that they would do. But there's something really funny about that, and I'll get to that in a minute. So folklore has it that you know, cumin has these powers of retention, you know, when it comes to your money, things like that. So
I know that your powers of retention.
Solid reference.
Yes.
So you could also bake a cumin bread. And the beauty of doing this is that when you add the cumin to the bread, it makes sure that it won't get stolen by wood demons.
So I just imagine like some like snake oil salesman selling like hawking his cumin. Yeah.
Get
and,
your
like,
cumin bread, keeps off the wood demons.
Just fucking unhinged.
So it gets weirder though, you know. So like, here's the thing: like this wood demon sneaks into your house because it wants your bread. Okay, it wants your bread so bad, and so it slinks into your kitchen. And it's like, man, I know they got bread in here. This is like the old days; everybody has bread, and so it sneaks in, and it finds the bread. But the problem is, oh fuck, it's got cumin in it. Fuck, and so this wood demon is like, shit, and his hand fuses to the bread, right? And he's stuck, and he's like, oh god, oh, they know what's up, they put cumin in it. And so then in all of this commotion, I guess you're supposed to wake up and be like, oh, we caught a wood demon, and you go and you banish him or something. I couldn't find the after of what you do when you have a fused wood demon to also, your bread.
Also, could it not just run off?
Apparently not. Apparently it's like he's just trapped by this bread. So do with that what you will. It seems though that the thief protection isn't just for wood demons. Okay. So
thank God.
You know, so all kinds of thief protection. So maybe you want to keep a small pouch in your car, or, you know, something to, you know, keep it from being like broken into or stolen entirely. I don't recommend that experience. It sucks. So if you can have your car avoided from being stolen, go for that. Or something of the sort to help it, you know, just kind of keep things safe. It could be your home. It could be anything like that. It can be added to prosperity spells. as a retention element. And I think that's something we can forget a lot when we do money magic or prosperity work is like, okay, yeah, let's get it flowing in, but let's also make sure that it doesn't flow right back out. Kind of like what you were talking about.
Yeah. So you could pair some alfalfa and cumin together and you'll never spend another dollar.
But you'll make some, you know, it's kind of nice. It's like a regulator. And I like that it's kind of the bottom of your spell that is the bit more practical nature that is easy to forget sometimes when you're just focused on bringing more in. You don't think like, okay, well, when I get all of this more money, I need to be sure to not piss all of it away.
Yeah. Looking at you, stimulus check.
Yeah, you know. Let's get into the love magic part. So we talked about the fidelity, right? Let's get into the love magic, or should I say lust magic.
Is this a little horny?
It kind of is, which is really funny. So, it has this like spicy, aka apparently sweaty scent.
Oh, yeah.
And it has these like real lustful qualities about it, especially. So here's what's funny, especially for men. So when you add it to foods and whatnot to help get, you know, like it gets like the juices flowing. And, you know, it can be steeped and whatnot. So here's what's so funny to me. Your dude that's about to go travel the countryside, you just pump full of aphrodisiac bread and wine. And it's like, all right, don't fuck anyone.
Now
here's some
faithful.
Cumin. Oh, my God. It just really cracked me up because it was like I was reading over and it's like, yeah, like, you know, if you want to, like, get things going, like, especially, like, with the man, like, put some cumin in the food and it just, like, really gets their engines revving. And I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't that also what you were supposed to do to get them to not fuck someone? So, keep that in mind if you want to use cumin for fidelity. It might end horribly.
Or be really clear in your meaning of who he's being faithful to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just what was so funny to me because it was like, even the wine. So it was like, yeah, like they would like give some like steeped cumin wine to their lovers to help them stay loyal. And it's like, that was also in another page, a highly potent over and over again love potion. And so it just really cracks me up. It's to me, it's just like pumping homeboy full of sexy power being like, have fun.
You're like, hey,
see you in a year.
Before you leave on your really, really long journey where, you know, may never see you again. And oh, also everyone cheats. Let me make sure you look like a GQ model and pump you full of, you know, fucking Viagra.
Yeah. So lastly, and this wasn't a very long one. It's pretty concise. It's very concise, pretty much. Lust, money retention, fidelity, and protection. Those four things, kind of a little all over the place, but...
Oh, Mace, you're forgetting the wood demons.
Oh, see, that's a very good point. You don't want to forget. The wood demons are trying to make me forget about that.
But... Yeah. they're trying to get your carbs.
Yeah. So never forget about the wood demons, okay? They always want your bread.
This is the old days. Everybody's got bread.
I love that's the kind of folklore that I wish that we still had, that superstition that ran rampant. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was said so flippantly all of the time. Be like, well, you know, you need to do this. You know, you need to watch for the wood demons at bay. You know, it's like, what? Okay, sure. All right.
We still have little remnants, you know, like we still got the fucking tooth fairy and stuff, but nothing quite where we just say it in our everyday life.
Not as many like as you have like in, you know, the old world, the beasties, the you know, which like how Lyra talked about growing up, like they get scary shit. You know, like growing up in Ukraine, like it was just like everything wanted to eat you or, you know, things.
And it's
like, I just feel like we don't have that as much like here in the States.
Let's bring scary children's tales back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I have one last little thing for you. And I thought this was interesting. I couldn't find where it came from. I saw it over and over and over again, though. So along with lovers, if you're talking about fidelity, along with lovers, there's an old myth that, along with keeping them from wandering, it will also keep your chickens from wandering as well.
Okay.
So that's cumin.
Great. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
Cumin seems a little confused.
Yeah, Cumin doesn't know for sure what he wants to be, but, you know, I appreciate that at the same time. You know, try a little bit of everything, see what sticks, and, you know, it's fine.
Playing with fire with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I enjoyed it. I think I would probably stick to using Cumin for protection and for keeping away wood demons rather than any kind of love lust, because it seems like it doesn't know quite what it's going for, and I'm going to let it figure itself out before I use it.
I see. I lean that it's a bit more lustful.
Yeah.
Because of the smell and, like, you know, the kind of aphrodisiac. Like, here's the thing. Like, I smell cumin and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And so it's like, I'm not going to deny that. So I'm going to roll that it leans more. Because when I smell cumin, I'm not like, oh, what a lovely chaste afternoon. No, yes. I smell cumin and I'm like, let's fucking eat some shit.
I'm going to go down on these tacos.
Yeah. And, you know, and so food is sensual. So I just tie those two things together. So I would use it for lust magic, I think. I don't see why not. I don't think I would use it for fidelity magic.
No.
I just think that that's playing with, like you said, playing with fire a little bit. But, you know.
It also... It just seems, I lean more towards the lustful thing because it seems like if you're consuming it, it's going to have like that physical effect on your body. Whereas fidelity is not a physical effect. That's a mental thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to trust the boner giving vibes over the keeping a man astray.
Yeah, seems a bit more tangible.
A real tangible boner.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I had fun taking those down. And somebody suggested a good while ago, like, doing more kitchen spices, just like everyday things that you can do to be a bit more, to make the mundane magical, so to say, but also be a bit incognito. So every grocery store, at least here in the South, I assume everywhere, in the States and many other places sells cumin. So, I mean, it's not too abnormal to have in your spice cabinet if you want to use it in your practice.
Dude, what would you do if you woke up in the middle of the night and you heard a commotion and you went in your kitchen and there was a wood demon just absolutely soldered to one of your loaves of bread?
You know, the first thing that came to my mind, and this is I would just get Dante. I feel like he would know what to do.
Just scratch the shit out of him.
Yeah, I just feel like the demon, like, because there's the weird thing with cats and demons anyway. Sometimes I think that's right. Yeah, there's like cats and evil in general is what I mean, you know. And I don't know, I feel like I would just want to get him, and I feel like
he'd know what to do.
I feel like he would chase the wood demon away, because he's kind of a little forest shepherd here now, you know. I feel like he's kind of taken Jorah's place a little bit as like the shepherd of the forest.
Oh.
And he's not nearly as good at it as Jorah, but he's kind of he has that same vibe. Like, while Jorah was the actual forest shepherd, I feel like Dante is at one with the forest. So it's close, you know, it's something.
He's got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, it's too big, honestly. He hasn't filled them, but he does a good enough job for a cat. So I would get him and let him at Mr. Wood Demon, and I feel like he would know what to do. And then the carb lover he is, I think he'd eat my bread, and I'd be all right with it. It's a fair reward.
You know,
a demon touched it anyway. He put his little demon paws all over it. I don't want it.
You don't want it after that. No. It's got demon germs. And like, what keeps it, like, here's the thing. If I touched a loaf of bread and my hand sealed to it, I'm still eating that loaf of bread.
What would you do if your hands became bread?
Dude, what if in all seriousness you opened up an episode of fucking Ghost Adventure, Ghost whatever, and Zach Bagans, what would you do if your hands became bread?
We received a report from a really intense activity zone that a young kid woke up and his hands were bread?
Yeah. I'll be staying overnight here to see if you'll turn my hands to bread.
I bet you're not brave enough. You wanna turn my hands into bread?
You like these bread hands?
Oh my god.
You know, I gotta tell you, looping it back around to the beginning and throwing out a little reminder to go watch that cameo of Sean Astin. When you sent me the link, and I want to talk about that for just a bit.
Okay.
When you sent me the link, I opened it up and I saw cameo. And you'll see that in the reaction video. I gasp and I go, oh, I saw Cameo. I didn't see who it was from. My first thought was, this is going to be Zach Bagans.
I think I might would actually vaporize. One out of two reasons. One out of shock and awe, but shame. Yes, it would be shame.
I would have felt so bad. Because the thing is, I'm not trying to diss anybody, but you can't put Zach Bagans and Sean Astin on the same level.
For some reason, I swore you were going to say you can't put Zach Bagans in a corner.
Listen, I'm not trying to shame anybody. Can't put Zach Bagans in the corner. So Sean Astin, he didn't even pop into my head. Because that was too
wholesome.
A millennia of possibilities away. Yeah, so my first thought was, this is about to be Zach Bagans. But I do want to talk to you about this, the night you sent that to me. So you saw it before I did.
Yes. But I didn't know anything about it. So Hunter did a really good job. He and Lyra, they coordinated. And this was right after the snowstorm, too. Yeah. And so, it was the, first or second day of getting back to normal. And this was the best thing that could have happened. But, I was just kind of fiddling around in the kitchen, I think. And then Hunter was like, come here. I need to show you. You need to see this. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird, you know? And and that's how it kind of starts, is I'm just, kind of staring at the phone. And I had no clue, because I didn't know what Cameo was either.
Yeah.
And then I saw it was a Sean Astin video and I was like, okay, this is what's he up to, I guess, you know? And that's kind of where you see the face transform. So it's like, yeah, I was aware of it before you, but then I wanted to make sure that you had the same, it wasn't spoiled for you. Yeah. I wanted you to watch it fresh. And so I had to really go tactical mode about it.
Yeah, you did. You did. Because I'm just sitting around doing whatever. And I finally look at Messenger or my phone or something and I see a million knives, which is our signal.
That's our call to action.
As I've spoken about. And I'm like, oh shit, something's wrong.
Here's what fucking freaked me out. So Hunter texted Malarkey what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you called me from Clark's phone.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I was like, don't check your messages.
That's true.
Listen to me.
I was using Clark's phone because mine is screwed up. So I called you or you called him or whatever. And I remember, Macy and I, we don't really call that often. We'll Marco or we'll text or whatever. But so she calls me and this is Macy's voice. She's just, hey, what are you doing?
It was all business.
And I was just like, okay. And immediately my brain's like, what's wrong? So I'm like, hey, is something wrong?
She's been canceled.
No, nothing's good. Nothing. Everything's fine. I'm going to send you something.
Let me interrupt. I was still reeling from what just
you
happened.
You sounded like it.
I was in shock completely.
And she just kept saying, something's going on. There's something you need to see. There's something you need to see. And I could hear the tone in her voice that it wasn't bad. But it was big.
Well, and I think I remember telling you, it was like, I know I'm being very intense right now, but you'll understand. I'm still processing something. So I know that I'm a lot, you know, but just do this.
So, and like you said, the snowstorm had come in and it was the first day. This was, and you'll see in the video, I've got wet hair. I was already in my pajama. I was ready for bed. I had just taken the first shower that I'd taken in 3 days with hot water.
Yeah.
I was ready for bed, dude. And Macy, she's getting into it. And she's like, hey, she's like, just film your reaction. That was another reason I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I went and I popped on a t-shirt and then Clark was like, hey, maybe you should, she's like, are y'all going to put this on Facebook? So I asked Macy, I said, is this for everybody or is this just for us? And you were kind of like, I think it'd be fun for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran back and put on a bra or something and came back and sat down and had this reaction. But dude, I have never in my life heard that tone come out of your body.
I wanted so badly for it to work. And that's the thing. It was just that was my mission. After that happened to me and I lived through that surprise, which I don't know if I've ever been that surprised in my entire life. I wanted that to happen for you. And I was going to be as intense as it took to get that to happen.
The biggest surprise I've ever received in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And you, I like your little reaction video. It's cute. Well, and you're a bit more expressive. I just went brain dead for about 2.5 minutes. It really did. Like, I feel like the lights just went out for a while as I was just trying to process what was actually in the world happening at that moment. And so I think it's a good pairing, you know, like you're a bit more like you're definitely a bit more animated, which is good. And then I'm just over there like an actual dead body. And I think covering both of those bases for a reaction with Sean Astin's sweet little face in the middle makes for a cute video.
And one of the things that was funny to me is somewhere in the video, he says he was going to make a joke. He's like, oh, but I don't want to make a joke because this is serious. Y'all take this seriously. And I was like, no, dude.
Like, buddy, no, we don't.
But I just think that moment at the very beginning where he goes, hey, Charlie, I'm Macy, or yeah, however, and your face takes a second. It's like you have to process it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your face just does this thing that it's, I don't know, it's my favorite part of the whole video.
It's like a meerkat face.
You just kind of, you see it register. You see the wheels turning, and then you just look up and your eyes are like pinpointed. I love it so much. Anyway, if you want to check that out, please, please do. Check us, we'll have it up on the discussion tab of our Facebook, which, by the way, just don't forget to join the coven.
We'll probably just pin it as an announcement.
Something will happen. But go over there. Mm-hmm. Check out his cute little Samwise Gamgee face and just you know.
It's wholesome as hell. It's just wholesome as hell.
Oh, God. Then we told our families, and our family was freaking out. My dad called me. My mom and my dad called me, and they were both just like, what's going on? What's happening? What is this?
Do y'all know him personally now?
It was just, you could just hear. Anyway, it was a great time.
So thank y'all to the
Bean Team.
Yeah, the Bean Team of Eight, the Fellowship of the Beans, Party of Eight.
As he says, the Bean Team. Well, some of them might not approve of this.
Yeah, I love that so much. So thank y'all so much. That was a blessing beyond anything we could have ever imagined. And it was the sweetest, really one of the sweetest, if not the sweetest thing anyone's ever done for us.
I can't. It's one of those things where I go to think about it and my brain knows that it can't handle it, so it shuts off.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I'm not worthy of that.
I can't process this.
Yeah.
And as you and I talked about, when we finally got them side by side and everything, all the audio was synced up and everything, which we did not do.
Yeah, no.
But when it was all finished, that was like the first time I watched it through since the beginning. Like, I watched it 20 times that first night.
Right.
And then I could only watch it in bits and pieces after that because I couldn't handle it, dude.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It fills me with a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And a lot of gratitude, but also a lot of, like, holy shit, like, this
is surreal.
This happened. You know, like, there are people out there that did this for us. And, like, I'm not like one to, I'm not very good at receiving grand gifts. I love to receive them and I'm grateful for them. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to like organizing the emotions to process grand gifts, it takes me a minute because I always have this moment of like, for me, you did this for me.
Yeah.
And it takes me a little bit. And so, yeah, rewatching it again with us put together, it was a wonderful way to relive it. I don't know. It's just incredible.
You know, I think as this uploads, I'm going to go watch it again.
I think you should.
I think you should. And I think you should too. Check us out on Facebook at Witch Amateur Hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have an Instagram where we'll also, I guess, put it up at
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
We have an email address that you can, we're doing these all out of orders, and I am thrown off kilter. If you want to advertise with the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, you can do so at our email address, wbahpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send your spooky stories in, dude. We might have a surprise, a small,
a little something.
Temper your expectations, but a little small surprise coming for the next spookysode. We have a Twitter at
Bitch Hour.
We also have a LinkedIn profile.
Oh my god.
And check out our Tinder accounts.
Come look at our Tumblr.
What was it? We've got a live journal.
Yeah.
Get the fuck in my mouth. I can't.